Would you turn with me, please, to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5. First Peter, chapter 5, and as the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verses 8 and 9. First Peter 5 and verses 8 and 9, where we read, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Peter has been reminding us that it is very easy for problems, divisions to rise in the church or between individual believers. It's so easy for those who are ministers and elders even to act in a way where they want to be lords over God's heritage rather than examples to the flock, and to have wrong attitudes. In the same way, it's very easy for people, rather than submitting one another, to be full of pride and to be pushing themselves forward. It's so easy for difficulties to come. It's also very easy for us to become discouraged, especially when there are difficulties, when perhaps it seems that God is against us as individuals or against us as a body of God's people. It's so easy to be discouraged. It's so easy to feel pressure to conform to the ways of the world. Now, where do all these things come from? Well, on one level, we could say that these troubles, which are real, and these temptations owe much to our own wicked hearts, because pride is always ready to rise up. None of us like to submit to others, and it's so easy for us to want to dominate. We're tempted to feel sorry for ourselves when things go wrong, and none of us want to go against the flow. And our own sinful hearts are liable, therefore, to lead us astray. But of course, there is someone who encourages us in the way of sin, the devil. He is there, ever ready to stir up, to encourage us on in the wrong way. And therefore, we shouldn't be surprised that Peter gives us this warning. He tells us to be on our lookout, to be on our guard, to take defensive measures against the attacks of the devil. Listen to him. He's telling you to be sober, to be on your guard. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Let's consider these verses as they provide for us a description of our adversary and tell us how to overcome our adversary. Overcoming our adversary. Firstly then, you'll notice the description we have here of our adversary. We're told, your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. What a graphic picture we have here. He's talking about the devil. The devil, the name means one who is a slanderer, one who tells lies. And of course, one of the main ways in which he tells lies is to slander God's people by heaping reproach on them, and especially by accusing them of sin and that God is against them. We think of how often he seeks to lure us away from God, lure us into sin and to accuse us of sin. And therefore, it's no surprise that he is called the adversary. And indeed, that is what the name Satan means. But that's not the word that's used here. He's an adversary. That can mean one who would oppose you at law. That reminds us of how he loves to make accusations against us. But is also one who in general just seeks to oppose us. That's what he is like. And the reality is that he is behind much of the problems which arise for God's people. Many of their and he stirs up temptations. And there's a whole variety of images used to describe him in Scripture, but Peter focuses on this one. He is like a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. You'll notice that he is a determined foe. A determined foe. He is one who walketh about. You can picture a lion pacing around, restless, always on the lookout, pacing around, looking out for prey, preparing to pounce. And so it is with the devil. He is one who is restless. He is one who is a determinee. He is restless because there is this determination that he has to be destructive and to destroy, and especially destroy the souls of men, and therefore to destroy God's people and to destroy the church of God. He takes great delight in doing these things. Now, if you think of it, dear believer, there was a day when you were under his thumb, under his rule. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. He was quite happy. And often he would leave you alone to go on in your sin. Just let that corruption come to fruition when the restraints of God are removed, because he knew that you were then a child of wrath. That was your destiny, and you were dishonouring God. But what's happened? You've been delivered from being under the power of darkness. You've been brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And therefore, he sees you as a traitor. He sees you as a turncoat. He is like one who now seeks to harm you and seeks to destroy you. It's interesting that we're told he is like a lion who like a roaring lion. And one of the reasons we might see for that is that he is like a wounded beast. Often a wounded beast will lash out. It's vicious. It's fierce. Well, you think of how the devil has been dealt a death blow through Christ. And the cross, there Christ destroyed principalities and powers, making a show of them openly. He defeated them. And yet, Scripture also tells us that although on one level there is that full overthrow and defeat of Satan, on the other hand, the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet shortly, Romans 16:20. So he's overcome, but he's not as yet consigned forever to the bottomless pit, to the lake of fire. And what's happening? As one who knows this is what's going to happen, as one who knows he's defeated, he is raging. If I'm going to go down, I'll take others with me. How often have you heard people say that sort of thing? That's his attitude. And as we're told in Revelation 12:20, he knows, 12 verse 12 rather, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. What determination there is. That's the picture here of one who is pacing around, not at rest, determined to do harm. His destructiveness is also brought before us. He is one who seeks whom he may devour. He wants to swallow down, to gobble down the souls of men. Doesn't that remind us of the cruelty, the heartlessness? You know, if you see a picture of a lion pouncing on prey, and then beginning, it kills it, and then begins to tear it to bits, then we feel there's a heartlessness. Now, part of our problem is we tend to impute human motives and ideas to the beast, and that is foolish. It's so common today, that's why you have some of the madness that comes out of the animal rights lobby, because they don't make that scriptural distinction, in fact, that obvious distinction that nature teaches us between man and beast. And we can see the heartlessness, that's the way it appears to us, of the blind in that situation. Well, the reality is that personal being, the devil, is heartless. He is cruel. You think of his envy at Adam in the happiness and perfection that he had in Eden. We'll have to stop that. And so he lays his snare and draws him into sin, destroying him and the race. And his opposition has not stopped. He who was a murderer from the beginning continues that wicked way. And how many souls have been destroyed by his activity? The God of this world blinding the hearts of those who believe not, lest they turn and should be, lest they hear the gospel and turn and be converted. Oh, let us pray for the downfall of the powers of darkness, and for the advancement of the kingdom of grace. That's what we pray for when we pray, thy kingdom come. A destructive foe, and therefore he seeks your destruction. Well, friends, is it not a comfort to know that if you're a true believer, the devil can't destroy you? God's begun a good work in you. He's going to complete it. You'll be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. But that doesn't mean to say the devil can't harm you. Can't give you a nasty gash. Can't give you a nasty wound. Can't harm your profession. Think of Peter. Every time he heard the cock crow, he remembered how he had denied his master three times and the grief it gave. And sometimes we look back and we think of foolish things we have done and they still trouble us. My sins and faults of youth do thou, O Lord, forget. After thy mercy, think on me and for thy goodness great. You know, these things are warning to us to watch ourselves, because we may receive wounds that will continue with us throughout this life and harm us, and you could say harm the God, Lord's cause, and harm our witness. He's destructive. We need to be on our guard. You'll notice he's a domineering foe. You hear of him here, roaring. Well, the reality is that the lion doesn't roar as it stalks its prey. If you read about lions, that's what the books tell you. Why is he roaring? Well, they tend to roar to mark out their territory. to assert themselves, to warn others, to declare, I am King and Lord here. Here he is, asserting his dominion. He goes around as a roaring play, claiming indeed that, well, he is the God of this world and that all should bow before him. His desire is to reclaim souls who have abandoned him and to, well, threaten. You think of how frightening it would be to hear a lion roaring if you're wandering around in the grasslands. Where's that lion? Is it nearby? Am I safe? Am I going to be attacked? Here's this display of power. He is the one who so acts to seek to keep people in fear and to be cowering. Oh, a creature. He's only a creature, but he's powerful. Now, it may be that Peter uses this image because a main way in which he was acting at this time was through persecution. This is a thread that runs through this epistle. And therefore you can see in the persecutors, the roaring of the lion, the attempts to bully people into submission, to renounce loyalty to Christ, or to keep quiet and let the powers of darkness have free reign. Isn't that the way it is today? Isn't the devil going around as a roaring lion in our own situation, seeking to get you to keep quiet? He uses people. He uses systems. And it's all about dominating and keeping you down and getting you to conform to what everyone else does and to mute, if not ruin, your witness. Oh, we're thankful. He is limited as a creature. We're out of that in Job. We're thankful that he is restrained, chained as it were. But he's still a real danger to us. And yes, surely there's an element of deviousness about him as well. At times he's silent. The lion doesn't always roar. I might hide, then stalk, then attack. There's a picture in the psalmist gives us of wicked men in Psalm 10, and it talks about within his heart he thus hath said, I shall not moved be, and no adversity at all shall ever come to me. His mouth with cursing, fraud, deceit is filled abundantly. And underneath his tongue there is his mischief and vanity. He closely sits in villages. He slays the innocent. Against the poor that pass him by, his cruel eyes are bent. He lion-like lurks in his den. He waits the poor to take. When he draws him in his net, his prey, he doth him meet. Well, that's the evil one, waiting to pounce. And if it's not through that brute strength, it can be through subtle craft, the evil one works. You think how crafty he is. One who was an amazingly wise and powerful angel, holy angel, fallen. And his power is now perverted. How often he does hide. How often he does tempt us. How often he stirs up trouble. He knows the buttons to press just to get us going. He's watched us and knows what we're like and causes trouble within the church and trouble between God's people and draws us into sin. Well, it might be through pressure, or it might be through subtlety. He seeks to destroy us. And we're reminded we've got to be on our guard. Be watchful. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Well, how shall we overcome him? How shall we resist either that pressure to conform or that being drawn into sin? Secondly, overcoming our adversary. We might summarise it in two ways. We must beware of his attacks and we must resist his attacks. We must beware of his attacks. Be sober, be vigilant. That's what he tells us. If you and I are going to succeed in keeping from him and being harmed by him, we've got to be sober. Well, think of the drunk person. He's wandering around where there's lions, there's going to be problems. Because we know that often drunkenness leaves people open to attack. It leaves them open to danger. It might be physical, it might be spiritual. That's so evident in our society today, because where there's a lack of self-control, it either leaves people open to physical attack or open to spiritual attack and to sin. It's sad when you think of how our society is so given over to abusing alcohol and the problems it causes. But we are to be a people who are sober. The idea is of being self-controlled, of being alert, to have our wits about us. That really is what it's talking about here. And, well, that's true spiritually. We're to be those who are clear-headed and clear-minded, who think things through spiritually. Part of our problem is we don't. When you and I fall into temptation and allow ourselves to get drawn away, well, isn't it often because we haven't really been thinking clearly? It's only as you look back and see how foolish and how wicked that thing was and how foolish it was. But at the time we weren't thinking clearly. That was wrong. There's no excuse. We made the choices. We did the thing we shouldn't have done. We displayed a lack of self-control because we weren't really alert as we should have been. In other words, he's telling us, look, day by day we've got to be clear-headed in thinking biblically. So what does that mean? Well, we've got to be a people who are disciplined. If we're not like that, we'll end up falling into the snares of the devil. We've got to be those who are temperate, who are don't rush to extremes, who stop and think, who are serious, who are aware of the spiritual implications of things, who bear in mind eternal realities, who think of the grace of God and the gospel. And these things are the factor in everyday choices that we make. How often we end up going wrong because we're not really being sober. We end up leaving ourselves open to temptation in different ways. And so, anxieties come, and things that might produce anxiety, and well, rather than dealing with it, it leads to more open fears, and we question God's ways. Or temptation comes and we fail to see the danger of things. Or else, just as we live in this world, it's so easy for us to be caught up with the way of thinking of the world, and we end up living for everyday things. Now we get very we can make a god of them, or we can feel jealous of others, or we can complain about things. We become proud. We can end up living for pleasure, forgetting these things really are not the be-all and end-all. It's so easy to forget realities and the holiness of God and the grace of God and the judgment of God, the preciousness of Christ. Be sober. Remember these things. Be on the lookout, therefore, for his attacks. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Keep an eye out for the enemy. Be aware that there are traps. See the traps. See the temptation for what it is. See persecution for what it is. Attempt to bully and cajole you into doing things that you know aren't right, just to mute your witness, as if what the world stands for is right and what you stand for is wrong. Be vigilant. See things for what they are. If the lion was around, we'd want to keep an eye on it. Wouldn't take our eyes off it, well, for when we're conscious of the devil seeking to attack, keeping our eye on the enemy and watching, aware that he's ready to pounce. Because carelessness will lead to danger. So we must beware of his attacks. Be sober-minded and be vigilant. And then you'll notice when he does attack, we are to resist him. That's how we overcome him. There's that being aware of things, so we're ready for the attack. We can respond in the right way, and then there's resisting his attacks. Whom resists steadfast in the faith? You notice we're told we're to resist him. We might think we're to run away, but we're not told to run away. Isn't that interesting? You're going to stare a lion in the eyes, see if it's going to back off. That's the picture we're given, isn't it? Whom resist? Resisting, not run. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Here's a call to stand our ground. In other words, we're to reject that temptation, and indeed to seek to turn things against the evil one, and turn that temptation, you could say, against the evil one. Yes, trials come. And the devil says, well, you should be fretting. It's just not fair. But rather than thinking in these ways, as we glorify God as the one who is in control, as the one who is doing all things well, even when we cannot see the answers and understand what's doing, we turn things round. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When you're tempted to be ashamed of Christ, then let it be a time when you say, no. It is my duty as well as my privilege to stand up for what is right. To be unashamed of Christ. You resist him, and he shall flee from you. When he tempts you to be selfish, and to be focused on your own self, well, surely the way to act is to remember God's grace and kindness to you, and to remember the generosity of Christ, and to respond likewise. You resist him, and he will flee from you. The last thing we should do is compromise. Because the more we yield, the more our faith will be undermined and our witness weakened. Resist him. You notice we are to resist them steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. Well, there's a reminder when it talks about in the faith. It's a reminder to us that one of the means by which we resist them is by embracing afresh the truths of God. The devil seeks to stir up your doubts, to question things. Hold fast the form of good words that you have heard of me. Cling to the truth. Be steadfast, firm and settled. That's how our faith is to be. Like a rock, steadfast. In other words, we're to embrace afresh the truth of God. How often we don't do that, and it leads to problems. He said, you resist them. And it's by, at least partly, that means embracing and getting a hold of the truth of God. That will help you. And yes, steadfastly exercising faith. Resist them steadfast in the faith, but not in your own strength. We need to be trusting in him. The faith suggests the truth. But we're aware that the faith requires that personal embracing of the truth and that personal dependence upon the Lord. Because we're reminded, without me you can do nothing, and we have need of his grace continually. The armour is only of use as we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so at the end of the day, it's as we focus on the Lord and delight in Jesus Christ and rely on the Spirit of grace, the more we will be kept right. Resisting, trusting in the Lord. Because we are not strong enough ourselves. And you'll notice here mentions how, as we do this, we know the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He reminds us here that memory of the fellowship of the saints encourages us. You know, so often we think, no one's going through what I'm going through. I'm unique. And of course that's not true. When you boil things down, you can see that at the end of the day there are very few differences between people's experiences, really. And although some have gone through things that others haven't gone through, many have gone through these things that you've gone through. And indeed, often it's good to learn, if we can, from them, to be comforted and encouraged and challenged by them. The last thing we need is to feel isolated. The lion tends to want to isolate a victim. The big pack of beasts that it might have as its prey are safe. As long as they're in the herd, they're in the pack. It wants to isolate one, get it separate, and then it will go for it. Might be a huge big beast. Might try a buffalo or a bison or something like that, but it will have a go with it, at it when it's on its own. It's as we are together and enjoy and remember the fellowship of the saints that we are strengthened more and more to resist his attacks. Oh friends, how we need grace. Because he does ground as a roaring lion. He does seek our destruction. We are not sufficient for these things. But surely grace is promised. Let us therefore resist him. and look to the Lord to help us, that we might fight the good fight of faith, that we might be clothed with the armour of God and ultimately prevail through Christ. Let us pray. Our Lord and God, bless thy truth to us. We bless thee for the fact that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. May this encourage us, for often we lose sight of these things. Lord, enable us to resist the devil, to turn his lies against himself, and to embrace the truth of thy word. By thy grace,